Welcome to the Valley Brook Community Church podcast, and thank you for joining us online today. You're about to hear a message from our current series, The Kingdom Agenda. In his famous Sermon on the Mount, Jesus lays out his kingdom agenda for us to embrace and to participate in. He explains what it looks like to identify ourselves with his kingdom agenda and what it looks like to live it out. To watch any of our previous messages or find all listening platforms, we encourage you to visit www.valleybrook.cc/on-demand. Enjoy.
Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to Valley Brook Community Church. My name is Brian Rooney. I'm here on staff, and it is my honor and pleasure to be able to speak with you today. Is it hot in here, or is it just me? I'm starting to think maybe it was the building, but at the same time, I think Rebecca's prayer just ignited the room. And I was like, whoo, man, I was like, that was good. That was so amazing. Oh my goodness. No pressure, right? Hey, other things going on here, just so you guys know about. This whole summer, our church has honored our senior pastor, Clark Poff, with a sabbatical, his first sabbatical in his many, many, many years of ministry, and that is ending today. He is coming back tomorrow, and so today is the last day we can pull all of our practical jokes on him, so if you have any ideas, please let me know. We're putting a sign-up sheet outside his bathroom in his office, so if you guys want to, you know, just joking about things to make him laugh. Just so you guys know, if you haven't met him, because I know there's some of you here who have come to the church over the summer, if you haven't met him, please come back next week. He'll be our speaker next week, and he'll be talking a little bit about his time, but also we've just been waiting and praying to hear what God has been doing in his heart this whole summer. So you do not want to miss that. Speaking of trips, Jenna and I, my wife, who came up here in the beginning to do the intro, we have this fun little tradition that we do anytime we take a trip, either to like the beach or we go out to vacation, we go to Disney, wherever that is. We have this tradition where we go to Barnes & Noble and we both buy a book that we're going to read on that trip, but we buy one for the other person. And so I go and I try to look for one for her. And so she likes fiction and fantasy, or fiction and mystery. So she'll look off in that section. And for her, she jumps right over to the C.S. Lewis section because I am such a C.S. Lewis buff. And so either she buys a book about him or a book that's very similar to something he would write. And then we both read it. I don't know if you guys have ever done anything like that, but it is fun to go and search for somebody else at a bookstore. So one of the things that she bought me was a book called The Ocean at the End of the Lane by Neil Gaiman, and it was a wonderful, very C.S. Lewis-like book of a child who experiences a Narnia-like world right down his street. And it's this beautiful story with magic and friendships and love and failure and mystery and also a little bit of scary monsters and things like that, and I love that kind of stuff so much. And there is this quote in the book. I thought the whole book was absolutely wonderful, but there was this quote in this book that just stuck with me, that I'm a nerd and also a guy, and when guys or nerds know something, they have to tell like everyone they know. They're like, this thing is like so cool, I gotta share it with everybody. So I wanna share this quote with you because it just filled me with such a sense of wonder and beauty, and something that I'd never really thought about in my life before. So I want to read this to you guys. And so to give context, the main character, who is a child, is walking through the woods to get to the end of their property. And he sees a trail. And he says, adults follow paths. Children explore. Adults are content to walk the same way hundreds of times or thousands. Perhaps it never occurs to adults to even step off the paths to creep beneath the rhododendrons. Those flowers, you know what I'm talking about, to find the space between the fences. I was a child, which meant that I knew a dozen different ways of getting out of our property and into the lane, ways that would not involve walking down our drive. And so this filled me with this sense of wonder, like, adults do follow paths. Do you see children? Children, we had our dad's field day and we had our path that we were walking on. The kids were making a billion different paths on the way and all the adults were standing just on the path. We're like, we need to stay here. It's safe this way. This is the way we get out of this. And I don't know about you guys, my generation, we're the GPS generation. I need a GPS to be able to go anywhere. I need to be able to have my path set up for me and knowing where to go. I do it even in my local community, and it's hilarious because it's like, do you not know where you're going? I'm like, well, if there's traffic, you know, I want to know that there's a path and I got to know the timing and stuff like that. So I just use it for everywhere I go because I'd be lost without my path. I would be absolutely lost with it. So I'm starting now to figure that out. I'm like, man, is this just what being an adult is? I just turned 30. I hope it doesn't get any worse than that. And so something I was thinking on about this is something I'd learned very embarrassingly late that my wife just showed me recently about GPS. So even though I'm a GPS kind of person, I'm still learning, is that I didn't know until literally I think about last year that you could hit a different route and say, I don't want to take highways, I just want to take back roads. I didn't know you could do that. And so we went on a trip a couple weeks ago and we were just driving through and she went, let's just go on the back roads. And I was like, but it takes like 30 minutes extra. Like it adds a little bit of time. And it's like, no, come on, let's just take the back roads. And my goodness, I was like, this is beautiful. Like this is so much better. I was like, this is so much better than driving on the highway. The highway is boring and everyone's angry. And I was like, I love this. This is so much better. And then this kind of quote was coming back to my mind. I'm like, I never thought of getting off the highway before to go to where I wanted to go. I didn't know there could be another path that would be filled with life and joy and just so much better. Yeah, it's a little bit more difficult than maybe the highway. Instead of just driving 80 down one road straight where everybody else is running, you get off and you go around some bends and some turns. The roads are a little smaller, but there was so much life on this road. It was beautiful. And it started to make me think, because we're going through this summer, if you haven't been with us, we've been going through the Sermon on the Mount. So Jesus had one major famous sermon that he did, which has changed the world. And so we decided for our summer to focus on just that sermon, to walk through his entire sermon to make sure we get everything out of it that we can. And so in this, we've been going through all of these things. And Jesus' whole point for this was to teach us about how to live in right relationship with God and with others. To love the Lord your God and to love your neighbor as yourself. The whole point of the Sermon on the Mount, loving in right relationship with God and living in right relationship with him and living in right relationship with others. Because Jesus was on a mission to fulfill the law and the prophets, meaning the Old Testament and all the wisdom literature that comes afterwards. That he was there to fulfill its impact, to bring the law and the prophets and the entire Old Testament scriptures to its fullest impact in the world by starting by bringing it to its fullest impact in our hearts. Because Jesus' people had a mission to go be the lights to the world, to show the world what it looks like when people live hand in hand with God, learning from his wisdom and living in a personal relationship with him and then treating others that same way. And so this is what he's going through, and we've been going through this whole sermon, and so we're right here at the end. Pat, our worship director, has talked a lot about the structure of the Sermon on the Mount, how it's almost kind of like a sandwich with two bread slices, then two lettuce slices, then two sauces or things like that, and then the meat in the middle, and then it kind of goes backwards out. This is the last piece of bread. This is the last part where Jesus is honing back in and saying, this is all it. Make sure you don't miss this, because this couples the whole thing. So what he does is he gives us three examples paralleling two different things. So three examples of paralleling two different things. He says, two gates with two paths, two trees, and two foundations. And so today, on our topic of walking down certain paths, we're going to focus on the pathways. And he says that there are two gates that mark each of these two paths. So I'd love to read this for you guys as we're going through. So here is his last topic as we're preaching on, as he's teaching. He says, enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many that enter through it. But for the gate that is narrow and the way that is constricted, that leads to life. And there are few who find it. So he's going through, he's paralleling these two gates and these two pathways. And just so you guys know, every time I've heard this, actually a good portion of times, because I grew up in church and I went to church, I had a little bit of time that I moved away from it. But there were a lot of times that I heard this verse preached on. Oftentimes the main point is there's one way that leads to hell and one way leads to heaven. Okay, good. Go do great, I guess. Go do, have, you know, try out. Get on the good one. But one thing that I realized as I was reading through this is that we need to remember the context of what Jesus is speaking in. These aren't just a bunch of one-off teachings. And while, yes, the paths that we lead to life eventually lead to where we go in the end, but Jesus' main focus is on where his people are today and the mission that they had in that moment. So try, if you've heard this verse before, if you heard this teaching before in that kind of context, maybe kind of just place that aside for a moment. And just focus here on where he is. Because a second ago, last week, if you were here for when Pat gave his sermon, a second ago, Jesus just finished speaking about how to ask God for wisdom. When it's saying, how do we live in right relationship with others? How do we know how to do that? God says, ask, and it will be given to you, the wisdom to do so. Seek that wisdom, and you will find. And when you find the place where it is, knock, and the door will be opened. And now he moves into this new conversation of, well, there's two paths. As you're searching, there are two gates that people enter in and two pathways that people can follow, a broad one and a narrow one. And so as we're kind of getting ready for this, and something that I noticed in this is that Jesus, in looking at these two different paths, one wide path and one narrow path, something I want you guys to kind of think through in this is that Jesus seems to be convinced that true life isn't always just about what you choose, but it's also about what you refuse. That true life isn't just about what you choose in life, but that it's also about what you refuse in life. So keep that in your mind, because that's going to be really important as we're going through this. And so I was taught, when you're trying to make an analogy, when you're trying to use pictures, when Jesus uses pictures or examples, it's really helpful to get an actual picture of what he might be talking about to bring you into this, because as you see in this building, there are no gates and there are no pathways, so we got to bring one in there. And so one of the things I was trying to do in preparing for this is I went, I should probably go look up some ancient pictures of gates and things, because we think in our culture, we might think of a gate to like a farm or to a backyard or something, but this was an ancient people group who lived in very fortified cities and walls. They had gates and walls to protect themselves from other nations or raiders to keep them safe. And so when Jesus said that there is a gateway, it looks a little different. So I started going online, I was looking at these pictures, and I didn't really find any that I liked. And then I remembered that I was a part of the Guatemala missions trip last year. If you don't know that our church goes on a Guatemala missions trip every year, we have a missionary that used to come here to the church, Jalen Perry, who's stationed down there, and she does work and missions work down there with an organization. It's absolutely wonderful. We send a team down there every year. It's so great. We actually had one of our students, Logan Deerdorf, who just came back from going back there again, which was so very wonderful. But I remember that when I was down there on our last day, we went to the city of Antigua. It's an ancient city at the base of a volcano that, I'll tell you, hundreds if not thousands of years ago, the volcano erupted and destroyed most of the city, but there's a bunch of remnants laying around. And I was thinking about this, and I remember, and as I looked through my pictures on my phone, I had a whole bunch of pictures of a bunch of gates and doors. And I was like, how in the world did I do that? And I remember it is when we were walking around, one of the members of our group, I learned as we were walking around, absolutely loves doors and gates. It's just like the thing she loved. And so she would go to different places and just take pictures of these gates and doors and everything. And as she's talking about it, I got into it. And so I was like, this is cool. I've never thought about doors or gates before. So I have like a ton of pictures of these gates and doors on my phone. So I was like, hey, this will work out pretty well. So here's the first one. If you don't mind, we're going to throw up the first thing here. This was absolutely astonishing to look at. This was so wonderful. So this was an ancient building that they had there that got mainly destroyed out in the front. But when you look at that front door, when you look at that front gate, that's kind of the gate idea I want you guys to start thinking about. Now, this is an ancient building, But this is what they looked like. They had decorated walls. They had very large structures. And this gate would lead to a great place. Why don't we go to the next one? This is a more modern kind of example, but this is at the heart of the town. This is a more modern version, but this is the center of where we did most of our shopping, where we walked around, we saw all these different things. And as you can see, if you can look through, that leads all the way down to the base of the volcano, and all the awesome stuff is right down that main road. And so our whole group walked down that road, and we went to all the shops, we checked out all the food places, we saw the coolest Starbucks and McDonald's that I've ever seen in my life. It's hilarious that I'm talking about a McDonald's and a Starbucks when I went to Guatemala, which is hilarious, but I did. It was so cool. It was amazing. And so that was the picture. Going through and thinking, this is the wide gate, a gate that most people on their normal commute to work would go through in an ancient city. That they would walk through a gate to a city and go in to where all of their life was, their job, their food, the people that they knew. That was the gate. Everybody went. It was their old ancient highway. And so Jesus is saying that this main gate, this wide gate as he's describing it, people are getting this picture, and he's saying this road that everybody walks down in life, the one that most people move on, is actually leading to destruction. You think it might be leading to where all of your money is and all of your family is and all of your wealth and all of your good things in life. The good life is found within the city. It's protected through this gate. But Jesus is saying, actually, it's leading to destruction. That's a very stark statement to say for people that know. That's like saying, go into your normal city, go into your home, your town, it's actually leading to destruction. They'd go, wait, what do you mean? And he'd go, ha-ha, I gotcha. He's a master of hyperbole. I didn't do this on purpose, but the picture actually goes all the way to the volcano, which is hilarious, that it's funny for this. It's like the broad path leads to destruction, and there's a volcano literally all the way the back. Kind of to further that point, that's not what I wanted to go with it, but I noticed it this morning, and I thought it was hilarious. So we're just going to say God did that for the sake of the analogy. But he says this, and that's a tough statement, that the path that most people take in life is to destruction. Now, when he's speaking to these people, when he's speaking to them, and he's giving them this example, something comes to mind for them. Because for us, we have our, you know, when we have our cultural norms, the things that we know about, you can mention movies or quotes or politicians and it gets all of our attention, we know who they are. For that people, for that group in that time, the Bible was their main media source for them. And so Jesus is pulling on an analogy when he's saying there's two paths to take in life, and he's pointing back to the Garden of Eden. Because in the Garden of Eden, the first story in the Bible, the play of humanity's condition played out. Adam and Eve were given two paths to take. This is why in the next example, he goes into the two trees, because Adam and Eve had two trees given to them, one of life and one of knowledge that they would take on their own. And as we know is the story, even if you haven't read it, spoiler alert, they take from the tree of the knowledge on their own. God offered them the path to live in right relationship with him and to learn from him alone within that relationship, and then to go out into the world and cultivate a world based on care for God and for others. And instead, what they do is they take knowledge on their own and they place themselves in the position of God to say that we're on top, our knowledge is on top, and now they live against one another. The first human interaction that happens after they choose this path is there's now enmity between them. They're living against one another, blaming one another, trying to be on top of one another. Almost instantly, it happens. And so what God is doing is he's showing them that as this it happened in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve were then led out of the garden through a gate into the chaos and destruction of the world, where the world was judged and ruled primarily by people who chose on their own what they believed good and evil to be, living with enmity between one another. And so this is where Jesus is saying it leads to destruction. And so this isn't like, hey, you're walking down this path and all of a sudden God's just going to strike it. He's actually pointing and saying they have no idea, but on this path, their own actions will lead to destruction. They think they're on the path to life, to the good life, where they don't have to worry about things, where they will be all right. But in reality, the world that is being created when humans live that way is a world that will eventually crumble on itself. We've seen this. Just look at human history. It's not that far-reaching to look at human history and say it's just a constant struggle of people trying to be on top of one another. It's constant, over and over. And so when he says it's going to lead to destruction, we hear 2,000 years later who can look back at history and say, boy, oh, it did. It absolutely did. And it still is. We're all experiencing this all the time. People not living in right relationship with God and not right relationship with others is probably 98% of the stresses that we actually have in life. Whether it's with our families or places of work, what we see on the news and in the media, or who comments on our social posts. Most of this is people living on that same path to destruction. And so Jesus, in his talk about wisdom, is leaning in and warning us, do not stay on that path. As you search for wisdom, there is another way. And he talks about the narrow path, and he says it's narrow and constricted, and few will find it, but it leads to life. Almost like peering off the highway into a back roads path when all of life is there. But you have to search for it. This is kind of a picture here. I don't know why I had this in there. I guess I got lost in the idea of taking pictures of doors and stuff. But I took a picture of this one for some reason. I don't really know why. But no one's really looking at this door through this gate. It's just kind of off to the side. Almost behind the telephone pole from where my point of view is. No one falls into this gate. No one just naturally flows into this one. This one you have to look for to go into. And so Jesus is making a very stark statement here that the path that leads to life is a path that you need to focus on finding. It's not one where the traffic just takes you. Meaning, living on the path that leads to life is not an automatic process. And for this, for all of us here, as we hear this, the things that I hope that comes to your mind is all of the stuff that we've talked about this summer. This is why it's kind of the end of the sandwich, the end part. It's like, well, what do you mean the life that, you know, the path that leads to life? What does that look like? It looks like all of the things that Jesus has discussed all the way up to now. Loving your neighbor. Praying for your enemies, turning the other cheek and walking the extra mile. These are not things that happen on accident. These are things that are active, things that we do. Choosing to look at the people in front of you, not as objects for your own satisfaction or objects to dehumanize in your anger, but people to raise up. Images of God that you do not reduce. These are hard things to do, but they are active things to do. And Jesus is trying to hone in at the end of his message to say all these things we've talked about, from not worrying about the future, from allowing God to be your God rather than money, for loving on others and viewing anger in the same light as you would with murder. These are things that lead to life. But they're active, and you have to focus on these things. And so he's giving all of us a choice, because he's giving us this choice because he gave his people this choice. If you've read any of the Old Testament, any of it, it's just a constant battle of the people of God, the people of Israel, trying to follow the way of God. That God gives them their way and says, follow me. Be the light of the world. Live with me. Take my wisdom out so the whole world can see you, where all the nations of the world who do not know me will know me through you. And you see them constantly returning to the wide and broad path, acting the same way that the rest of the nations do. And where their destruction comes is because they end up treating the nations as objects. They view them as lesser than themselves. They desire to conquer them, take their land, take their people. And then they actually have enmity between them to the point where the nations do not benefit at all from Israel because Israel looks just like the rest of the nations. And so the world does not benefit anymore, and they all just start fighting and they start battling, and awful like worship and idol sacrifices come into the people of God. It's awful what happens. And so as you read the story, as he's teaching them, there's a path that leads to life and one that leads to destruction. They lived it for hundreds and hundreds of years. And so Jesus is calling them back in. And for all of us here at Valley Brook as well, Jesus is calling all of us back in to practice the way of God. We talk about practicing the way a lot. It's a teaching series that we've discussed, but the name of it comes from ancient connection with Israel and early church. They actually called themselves practicers of the way before they called themselves Christians, because they were so convinced that there was a way that led to life. But it is not one that you run on by accident. It is not one that the world will push you to take. And so our challenge for you is to remind you, consider that true life does not only exist in what you choose, but also what you refuse. That there is a path of the automatic way that we live in the world, the things that our heart usually wants, or what the world tells us to value. But there's another way, a way that leads to life. And this is one that we need to focus on. Something about focusing, just so you guys know, I don't know if you've ever kind of looked into the study of focus when I do it when I was in psychology. James Clear wrote a little bit on this. He said that focusing, I have to find it. I haven't been even following any of my notes, which is great. Focusing is the art of knowing what to ignore. That focusing is the art of knowing what to ignore. Another one, Steve Jobs talked about this. People think that focusing means saying yes to the thing you have to focus on, but that's not what it means at all. It actually means saying no to the 100 other good ideas that there are. You have to pick carefully. I'm actually proud of the things that we haven't done as much as the things that I have done. Innovation says saying no to 1,000 other things. When Jesus points out these two paths, how do we turn and ignore the highway to know that there is another path to take? It's not just in focusing on the one, but we have to remember what the ways of Jesus are and ignore the ways that we've been taught, or the ones that we've been learned up to this point. Not to hate your enemies, but to love them. You have to ruthlessly ignore that drive to hate your enemies, to want to feel better than them. You have to ignore when you look at a person and you feel a certain way about them and you start to turn them into an object for your own satisfaction. You have to ignore that, and you have to remember that that's not who they are. They're a full human being. And you can take this with all the different examples of Jesus. The point that I'm trying to drive home here is, and this is something I want to drive this home a little bit for you guys, is when you're doing your jobs, there are 1,000 different ways to do a job, but there's really only a few right ways to do it. Could you imagine if you asked a plumber and electrician to come over to your house and they were like, there's really only one way to do this right, but it's just not easy. I'd rather just do it this other way. And you're like, excuse me? Like, bro, like, this is my house. Like, can you do this correctly, please? And you can see this on the other end of it. If you bring in someone who's, like, really good at their craft into a home, and they start to see wires and plugs just taped up onto the walls in places, and you're like, what did the last person in this place do? They just ignored everything you should be doing because they wanted to go down the easy route. There's a better way to do it. It's by ignoring all of the just sideways you can do things and focusing on the one way that actually leads to life and not to a building that falls down from your poor wiring. When we choose to follow the way of Jesus, it leads to life, abundant life. Can you imagine a world where we live in right relationship with God, where we place God as our only source of worship, and then we live in right relationship with others? Where do you think that leads? If you went down that path long enough, what would your own life look like? What do you think your relationships would look like? It would be very different than the way that the world usually takes us. Search for the narrow path. God says that anyone can search for it, and the door is open. It's not that he has a few in mind that are going to get to it. He's just being honest and saying, I haven't seen that many people search for it. To bring back to what I was saying before, I want to invite the worship team to come up. If you're on a path, and you've been on this path for a long time, look for the narrow path. Consider stepping out of the way that you've learned to do life. And find the life on God's path that he has set for us. For I promise you, while it may be hard, while there may be a couple hard turns and bank turns that you have to make, where it will lead you is beautiful. So I want to invite any of you here, if you have not made that decision to follow Jesus, to practice the way of Jesus, I want to invite you to follow him with us. We are trying to strive to be like him, to do the way Jesus does, to think the way that he does, because we've seen his life and the path that he lives on lead to life. And we want to follow that. If you have not made that decision, come and join us. Be a part of what God is doing. When you do, the world starts to look more like heaven. And we want to be part of that growth. Would you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your wisdom. Lord, your wisdom is unlike any other that has ever come before. Lord, help us to follow you in your wisdom. Help us to ignore the many things in life that we have been told to focus on. And help us to choose you and focus on you. Lord, I pray that everyone here chooses to follow you with their life. And after a while of focusing on you, has a moment where they can look back and say, I am so proud that I did not do 100 other things that the world tells me are good for me, but are not. I'm so happy that I focused on you. I pray that everyone here has that moment, that their life begins to reflect the life that comes from being in right relationship with you and with others. And Lord, I pray that every single person that makes that decision, that their life becomes a light to the world, and that your mission to fill the earth with lights, to salt the earth, to fill the earth with people living on earth as if it was in heaven. I pray that the whole world sees them and that they come and they find you. For the world would be a better place. And we would truly be living in the abundant life that you desire for us to live. Thank you, Lord. Be our Lord and be our King, now and forever. Amen.